Good morning. Praise. And joy to be together. And I thought during our worship this morning of the names of Jesus, and just for a minute, some of the names of Christ. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the Amen. He is the arm of the Lord. Here's an interesting thing, arm of the Lord. What did God use when he made the universe? With his fingers, he made the universe, but with his arm, he saved us. Jesus came. Which was more difficult, to create the universe or to save us? But to come, show us his love. He is the branch, bread of life, chief shepherd, consolation of Israel, cornerstone, creator, deliverer, door, eternal father, faithful witness, first and last, forerunner. He is God, the blessed God, God the Lord, good shepherd, great high priest, head of the church, heir of all things, holy servant, holy and righteous one, holy one of God, horn of salvation. He is the I Am, the image of God, Emmanuel, Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, judge of Israel, king, king eternal, king of the Jews, king of kings, king of the nations. He is the lawgiver, the Lamb of God, the leader, the life, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords, the man of sorrows, the mediator, the messenger of the covenant, the Messiah, the mighty God, the mighty one, the morning star, the Nazarene, the only begotten of God. He is the Prince of Life, Prince of Peace, the Prophet, the Redeemer, the Resurrection and Life, the Rock, the Root of David, the Ruler of the Kings, Savior, the Seed of the Woman, the Shepherd and Guardian of our souls. He is the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, the Son of Man, the Son of Righteousness. He is the source of eternal salvation. He is the true light, the true vine, the truth, the witness, the wonderful counselor, the word of God. Guess who saved you? He did. Guess who's with you? He is. Guess who takes care of you? He does. Who keeps you? Who fills you? Who satisfies you, who speaks to you, who covers you, who guides you, who will take you to heaven, who will do it? He will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, we will have our outdoor service at 11. I'm not sure the weather. I heard it was going to be 91 degrees on Wednesday. So we're going to have to make a decision if the Wednesday night service will be out in the driveway or how we will do that. So keep your eyes on our webpage or Facebook, whatever, all that happens. However you get your information, pick up the phone and make a call if you need. And we're starting up our children's. We have an outdoor children's program down at the gymnasium part, or in the playground area down there, also that we're starting up doing. And for our message this morning, we'll have Pastor Rogers say a few words about the offering, but we will be looking at the book of James this morning. And this book of James, and just we have a message in our hearts on that book. So that'll be, I'll introduce that to you in a few minutes. So let's all stand for a moment. Would you just stand with me? Only if you feel comfortable, and to whatever degree you feel comfortable doing this, but just take a minute and love up your neighbor. You know, however, whatever that looks like, encourage them, love them up. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of James. Please, James. I love preaching. How about you? I love preaching and preaching. Then there's teaching. And some people, they want the preaching. Amen? But then maybe the preaching doesn't come. Because that's the way we are. We preach with an anointing. And the anointing is our teacher. 1 John 2:20. And it might be, we've had people come in here to be part of our fellowship, and we say, why do you come? And they say, because I'm learning the Bible. I'm learning the Bible. I've heard a lot of yelling and preaching, but I haven't learned much of the Bible. That doesn't mean that yelling and preaching wouldn't be God's will. It is His will. Yelling and preaching and with all authority. Titus chapter 2, Paul said to Titus to exhort, reprove, and rebuke with all authority. And the authority has the sense of all the expression you have in what it is that you are saying, that you are saying it with authority, that it is believable, that you are believing what you are saying. That means there can be tears, because tears can be very convincing that you actually believe what you are saying. Also, Pastor Stevens said one time that he had counted 28 different anointings in the ministry. There was a penetrating anointing, teaching anointing, preaching anointing. So this is what we are learning as a body and praying for, the manifestation of God. Pastor Chiavelli is an awesome preacher and teacher, amazing classes. Pastor Love, wow. Pastor Gary, you can go down through like 10, 15 guys and just say, wow, I've gained so much from their ministry. But it's on my heart now, this lesson would be on James. And I'd like you to be reading the book of James, because I think this class, message, lesson, service will help you open up the book to you. And then when we're out in the parking lot, we won't be doing it this way, because we won't have the iPad and we won't have the focus, because it'll be, our voice will be bouncing off the building across the street, and because we don't have the iPad up on the building and so on, you know. So thanks for your love, your prayers, your faith, and let's go to it. Turn to the end of James, and this is an exercise for you, in chapter 4, in verse, we will be looking at verse 13, but I'll draw a sketch up here. Here's a Christian, and let's just say he's a good man, he's a Christian. If you were to ask him, are you a believer? Yes. What kind of Christian? What kind of believer are you? I'm growing on and off. I have my good times and my bad times. I, like all of us, I get confused sometimes. I'm double-minded. I wrestle with my temptations, but I believe God. I'm okay. Then there is a Christian that has found something that has made him may affected his mind and his spirit and his way of thinking, his way of living, and how he processes life, how he thinks. And if you were to follow him, you find that he has a very consistent spirit, a consistent, it's like Paul said, rejoice in always, and again I say rejoice. He is victorious, it seems, I don't want to say all the time, but when he fails, he gets up, and he knows who he is, and he has a way of thinking in faith, and it seems like he has a way of overcoming. He has a way of overcoming in life. And then, of course, you have a person who is not a believer, and they have a certain kind of life. The coronavirus season that we just had has brought out of the, we have seen statistically, they say nationwide, the suicide hotlines are 600% more active than a year ago. If I'm an unbeliever and my world changes and my circumstances change, then what's the content of my life? What's the content? So this is, the book of James is going to help us learn a lesson about this. So go to James chapter 4 in verse 13, please. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Back in December, before we had the corona thing, whatever you want to call that, you know, we know what it is. There were people making plans for the spring and the summer. Maybe they were excited about their sports and the NBA, and they didn't know the games would be canceled in the golf. Maybe in their business, they were just at the edge of making big decision. And they could say like this, we'll go into such and such city and buy and sell, and we'll make a profit. But there's something missing in the sentence, and this is in verse 14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Life is a vapor, a mist. Have you ever seen a lake in the morning with a mist kind of hanging over it, and then the sun burns it off, and that moisture is like gone in the air? Have you seen a tea kettle with steam, and it's gone? We have heard this past week, I think I counted 5 people who passed into eternity in 1 week's time. Think about it. We will go and buy and sell. We will take a vacation. We will travel here or there. We will fly to Europe and do a conference. We will go to Eurocon. We will make decisions with our businesses and so on. And the writer here is saying, no, not so fast. Might not happen. Look at our diagram. This man gets crushed by the disappointment, losing a girlfriend, losing a friend, losing a job, losing a house, losing a reputation, the Christian also has, this writ is written to Christians. This book of James is telling us something, that you cannot, you have to be, because this man here has certain, there's a key in the book of James, it's James 1:19, and it goes this way, swift to hear, there's three things, slow to speak in what? Slow to wrath. So, Father, we pray you would help us and help us encourage us today in our message today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we need help to be grounded because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know about our future, but we are on a rock. High, we are above. Lift me to the rock that's higher than myself. Higher than myself. Higher than myself. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. You know, through the months and years as a body, we've been growing in understanding. This understanding is Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. So many verses we can, you'll follow me as you listen. I won't write them down, but understanding. This is Psalm 90. Teach me, Lord, my life is short. It's a span. In the ancient world, a span, a measurement was the width of your knuckles here. This was a span. A cubit was the distance from here to your elbow. A cubit, you know, and then a span. A span is shorter. Life is a span. Trusting in God. And receiving with meekness the engrafted word is James 1:21. But in the book of James, and you can find this little series here, this one, swift to hear, and that's point number one. We didn't finish James 4, so please go back there. Instead, verse 15, James 4, instead you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. If the Lord will. It's a little phrase, and it means that I am always inviting God into my way of thinking. I am inviting God into my, if not just if the Lord will is a mechanical phrase that I say, throw it in there. It's deeper. It's like before God in a life of faith, in the grace of God and the authority of God, there's a trust and there's an attitude. And if he doesn't do it, like, if the Lord will, I'll go to New York, I'll buy and sell, I'll make my money and come back to Baltimore. But the Spirit says to me, you know, check with God. And the Spirit is the one that leads us. And I could say, Lord, I don't need to go to New York and do this thing. Or whatever the circumstance, whatever the case may be, by opening up a new kind of, it's like I have found, and I have realized how much you will lead me your way and guide me, because my life is like a vapor, and it's very short, and I believe. This kind of content is lacking in the life of so many people. So when their world collapses, they get angry about it. This, see the third thing up there, slow to wrath. There's anger. And there's anger in people because of disappointment. There's anger in it with people because their plans didn't happen. And there's anger and frustration because of it. But the book of James is counseling us, and it's a great book for it. So go back to verse 15, please. It says, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. Now, these are two strong words, boasting and arrogance. It's arrogant to leave God out. It's arrogant that you can think you will always succeed. It's arrogant to think that God owes it to you. It's arrogant to think that if I just say a short prayer, you know, just say a short prayer about it, and God's got it covered, and it's going to happen. Have you heard? Are you receiving the engrafted word, which we'll look at in a second? So there's arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So you stay. I like to think of holding life kind of loosely. Like, this is mine. This is mine. The verse is, Lord, it's yours. And you, I have you. I might not have this, but I have you. I have you. I know who you are. You are my God. And I have it. But I have it only in the degree that you have given it to me. I have it, but I have it only in the degree that your grace and every day that I live is really a gift. Thank you, God. And what I have, I can hold it. And if I hold it like tightly, like this is my life, and then the Lord takes it away from me, now I'm angry. I'm angry about it because this is mine. This is my life. This is my plan. And if you take my plan away from me, now I'm angry about it. And I have a lot to say about it. Look at the second one. Swift to hear, slow to speak. But now I have a lot to say. So I go on Facebook. And I tell the whole world exactly what I think about the whole thing. And God is in heaven and could care less about our venting and our rampage and our foolishness and our selfishness. And God told me back here that this is not mine. It's His. And He's loaned it to me. He loaned me a child that I raised. We're with Pastor Hadley and Nancy, their precious daughter, that was an amazing testimony of their lives, where they just knew that this, their family, is something that they have, but what does God owe me? It's that higher level is what He owes me. It's a higher level. That's what He owes me through Jesus Christ. He gives to me His Son. If He gave me His Son, how much more could He give me? Romans 8:32. He gave me His Son. His Son is the one. And if we have the Son, then we hold the things we have in our life like that. And every day, we end the day saying, God, you gave me this day today. Thank you so much. What a great day it was that you were with me today and you gave me this day. Thank you and praise you for what you gave me. Thank you, Lord. Well, how does this life develop? Let's look at it from James chapter 1. And please look at, and I think as you read the book in the next, through the next weeks, I will not be teaching on it for the next weeks, me here and there, but I want to introduce the book to you and get you hungry for it, because I feel God will speak to you many things from this book of James, which is so useful, because I believe we see a classic example in our country of people who had many plans, and they had much life by way of their activities. They say, you know, what are you doing this Friday? I'm going out to eat. Well, I can't do that now, so I got to stay at home. And sit at home. What am I going to do at home? What about just sitting at home? Can you do that? I'm an active person. I go to restaurants and basketball games and the beach, and I go, you know, oh, I got all my things I do. What if you did nothing? What if you did nothing? What's there? What's there? You know, what's there? How do you think? How do we think? So this is it. James chapter 1, it says, verse 21, therefore put away, we could start with 19. Know this, that my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear. Hearing, it's not easy. Hearing. Jesus' primary complaint with the Jewish nation was that they couldn't hear. Well, they were filled with rabbis and teachers and everything. Yeah, but they couldn't hear. They couldn't hear him. They couldn't receive from him. They couldn't hear. How much mental sickness is rooted or evidenced by the fact that the patient can't hear? They lost it. They lost their hearing, their objectivity. Because when you hear, it's not you, you're hearing another. That's why it says in Luke, be careful how you hear. In Mark 4, be careful what you hear. Be ready to hear. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2. Sometimes you're with another brother or sister. They're a very good listener, and they are hearing you, and they are listening, and they're slow to speak because there is a lot of hearing that is not needed. I would say there's a lot I won't listen to. I have no interest in it, and I have a filter. I don't have time, and that's not where I'm living, and I'm not interested in that. But it's about more the engrafted word. That's verse 21 of that chapter. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Words, spiritual words, implanted words, words that'll stay with you the rest of your life, words that stay with you in your prayers, words that come back to you in your mind, just as you're driving a car. Words of life, Paul called them in Philippians 2. Holding forth the words of life. Words, when God said, let there be light, those words were so powerful that he created light by words. Behind all the material things are the thoughts, and the thoughts were in God's mind. When he made an ocean, a tree, a cow, a bear, that was all in the mind of God. And these thoughts became reality by words. He said the words. And he said to the man in John 5, take up your bed and walk. And the man heard those words and he took up his bed and he walked. Words, words of life, words that change people. We all know that if you pick up the phone and you called somebody that was very meaningful to you, your mother or a friend or a pastor or somebody that was very important to you, and they said, "I love you," those words are words of encouragement. And if God speaks to us by this great book, why, they say, the Bible is the most popularly bought and sold book. It's sold, there are millions of Bibles every year, but it is the book that is least read. Nobody reads it. Everybody buys it, but nobody reads it. They don't read the Bible. We don't read the Bible. We do. But why do we read it? Because we get an ear to hear it. And when I hear it, it brings us to that this man that is not him. It is him, but it's not me. Listen to Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That man is like holding life. You say, "Are you going to go to New York and buy and sell and get gain?" He goes, "Maybe it'll be that way. I have a plan. But I've given it over to God. I want God to breathe on it. I want God's, I'm going to do it. I decided I'm going to do it." But then, you know, if the Lord took it away, that's fine. Thank you, God. You closed the door. You answered my prayer. You are God in my life. I'm learning how to walk before you and with you. I brought you into my heart. I'm hearing. This is the key to the rest, though, two below it. Swift to hear, as a hearer, you become occupied with the object of truth that is outside of your experience. And you say, "God said, yeah, but don't you know about the coronavirus? And don't you know about, and don't you know about the, and do you know what he said about you? And do you realize that there's a whole group on Facebook?" And I go, "Yeah, I know about life." Somebody once said, I think it was, who is the Walden Pond guy? David Thoreau. He lived on Walden Pond for a year. You know the story, or New Englanders do. And just lived on in a cabin. And there was a question, "Do you want a newspaper delivered to your cabin every once in a while?" He said, "No, I already read one." What is a newspaper? It's the same story. You know, Cain killed Abel. There was incest. Lot and his daughters had incest. There was a war. There was a genocide. There was a slaughter. There was a pestilence, a disease. The only thing that changed in the newspaper is really the date. And I don't know what else, but... You know what I'm saying? These people, Christians, many Christians are lacking something, because the only way that my life really takes on what it is that God has promised us, it says Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you." Listen to it. How? Finish it. Richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. How? Richly. If you interviewed the Christian there, the second level guy there, the one with the circle around him, "Do you know the Bible?" He goes, "Yeah, I know one or two Bible verses." "Do you know where Matthew is in the Bible?" "Maybe I could find it. Maybe I could find it." I'm not making fun of him. I'm just saying. And when you, if you looked at his life, he would be holding onto his things, afraid to lose them. He is afraid to lose them. But the Spirit of God wants to teach you and I something that is so beautiful. No matter where you live, what country you live in, no matter where you find your life, no matter where you may find your life. I read about D.L. Moody in the Chicago fire. He and his wife, they were young. They had, I think, two children at the time. And the Chicago fire, and she lost the children. They kind of went, and Chicago is burning down. It's on fire. And their house, and they had to leave. Somebody came to the door, and they had to leave the house. It said her hair turned white that night because she lost her children. But they were okay, and she got them back. But her hair turned white in one night. Why did I tell that? I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I don't know what will happen with me, what will happen with you. But I know that if I receive the engrafted word, that means if we have Christ as a reference, will we suffer? Yes, maybe that happens. But behind the suffering, as Paul said, I may be cast down, but I'm not utterly defeated. I am sorrowful, but always rejoicing. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I have a way of escape all the time. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I have found a new way of life, and it is what this book is saying to me. Lastly, it says here in verse, the first part, swift to hear. And so, messages. I listen to one 40 minutes sometimes, 30 minutes, hour of doctrine every day, just about. I spend time. I'm so blessed. I always am thankful. I have, because I'm a pastor, and I have been given the honor and privilege of praying and studying and reading and visiting and evangelizing and thinking about how we could reach the world. What an honor that is to think and dream about what's next. And this summer, we want to do Baltimore outreach with Pastor Gary Grunewald and Pastor Ronaldo Brown and really have a vision for our city and some neighborhoods here in Baltimore because people need it. You know, look at what is happening in our world. Sometimes we could say the world is on fire, like Minneapolis. But then we say, that means God. God, we are here. We have a message. And Franklin Graham asked us around all the churches in America today to pray for America and pray for this revival and pray for people to be learning to be swift to hear. What does God say to me? I'd rather sit in quietness and hear what God has to say to me and be slow to speak. And slow down on my opinion on things and get deeper with God. And say, you know what? They don't need my opinion about this conspiracy, this and that, and this thing in China and everything that's going on. And they talk for hours and weeks and months about things, to be honest, that many people know very little about. But they walk around like thinking, and they get their platform and they do their thing. Waste of time in many ways. Get on my knees and pray for revival for America. Get on my knees and pray for pastors in America. Go to my neighbor and tell them that God loves them. Look for children that are in need around me and tell them about Jesus. Be in a church that's doing something by faith. And be with my sisters and brothers and be talking truth and being encouraged and edified. Why, if we lived in bad times, if we lived in a country where we had serious problems, what kind of Christian would I be? The one, the second one there, or the other one? The Apostle Paul was like the guy up there who said, in prison, I am seated in heavenly places. Who never wrote about, you know, the Roman government is a miserable, a whole group of lying, corrupt, deceitful leaders in Roman Empire. He didn't say, he didn't have time. He wrote the Word of God down to build us up in our faith. He wrote down the Word of God to build us up in faith. He wrote down the Word of God in case one day when your business plan doesn't work and you're holding on tightly and your heart is empty, you need somebody to teach and preach you and I the book of Ephesians and to think with God and to realize who we are in God and then do something about it by loving the enemy, by loving people, by praying for our country. Hatred is not, it says, slow to wrath. Let's finish with that one. Men, I was in a men's seminar one time, 220 men. And I said, how many of you have a problem with anger? All the men raised their hands. Anger. We have a problem with anger. People do. Frustration. They say the child abuse, the home domestic violence is on the increase during this period of time. Men at home frustrated. Men at home that may not have a job. Men at home that are troubled in walking around and they're angry about things and frustrated in life. Well, what does the Bible say? It says to be what? Swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. How? I think if I get happy in Jesus, happy, happy, happy. I think if I get happy in Jesus, if I have a song, if I can read my Bible, if I can say it out loud, if I can be with my brother, if I can love my wife, if I can take it, I get angry and then I just kind of calm down and just say, hey, maybe I need to go for a walk. Maybe I need to talk to God. Maybe I need to get real quiet before God and bring all the stuff up to God. Yes, anger, frustration, and then get real quiet and just say, Lord, I want this thing solved in 24 hours. And the Lord says, how about 24 years? No, I've said 24 hours. God said, no, I'll deal with it, and I'm going to deal with you and help you. I want to teach you. I want to show you my ways. My ways are not your ways. And I want you to be patient, and I want you to learn from me, and I want you to be spirit-filled. And I want you to, it says D.L. Moody had an anger problem, a temper problem, and sometimes he would go to his children and ask for forgiveness. One time his wife said to the children, you know, Dad, Daddy isn't always saying the things that he really means, but he loves you all, and he loved his kids very much. But he had this thing. Even in a big meeting once, he pushed a guy down the staircase. And he had to go in front of everybody and apologize because they saw what he did. And he went in front of everybody in that big hall with thousands of people. And he made his apology. He said, I am sorry. I misrepresented. And he did his, he apologized. And then he preached his message. You know what? There's a lack of humility, a lack of brokenness before God. There's a lack of searching for God and looking for God. There's a lack of understanding the ways of God. And we take it upon ourselves, and we have a lot to say, and we're angry about a lot of things. But the writer of James is saying, no, we have found another way. So that's my message today. Amen. God bless you. Lord, we thank you this morning for teaching us, helping us, learning, growing. May you use these words to help us in Jesus' name. Anyone listening to my voice this morning, would you hear the voice of God say to you, I love you? Would you hear, please, what the Bible is saying? Not me, I'm just a voice, but hear what God is saying to you, that I love you. God says, I love you. I gave you my son. Come to me and trust in Jesus Christ, and you are born again. You have a new birth. You have a new life. You have the Spirit of God in you. You have a new way, a new mind. You have a new heart. God is with you. God will never leave you, never forsake you. God loves you. Please, in your heart, say to him, I trust in you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.